Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. First off, I would like to thank everybody for being here this morning in the rain, and welcome those online, tuning in online. If you're looking at it at a playback, welcome, and thank you for tuning in. I'd like to start off giving thanks to God for this opportunity again. I'm overwhelmed and I'm blessed. I feel blessed for this opportunity. I thank God for Pastor Josh allowing me to do this, and I thank God for my husband as well, my everything. I thank God for my daughters. Both of my daughters are here. I have to give them a shout out. And my auntie, my God slash godmama, and my godfather. Thank you so much, so much. It means more than you can ever know. And my friend, Tan, thank you so much for being here. And all of my friends that just those here, all of y'all in my family, I thank y'all so much for being here. Everybody mostly know that my mom has had a massive stroke. So when my family shows up in the place of where my mom would normally be, that means so much. So Auntie, thank you so, so much. Some of my family will be tuning in online too. So good to see y'all. So we've been in a series this month with broken vessels. We've been talking about broken vessels, so I'm going to continue that. Just a quick recap. The first week, we talked about Gideon. First, let me say, my name is Cynthia, and I serve on the staff at COTR. If you don't know who I am, I'm Cynthia, and I serve here for those that don't know. Pastor Aldridge, I did it. Okay, so first week we talked about Gideon and talked about how God used him as a broken vessel, and he was a guy that doubted God all the time, and he doubted God's word, and he had so much fear in him, but God still used him. Then the second week, Pastor Josh talked about Jephthah. And I want to just give a disclaimer before I even start. We in Judges, and Judges got the weirdest names ever. Like, so when I say a word, just go with it. Don't judge me. Don't criticize me. Don't email us, talk about she can't speak. I'm country, but these words are wrong. So just giving a disclaimer so y'all, it's already out though. Okay, so we talked about him the second week, and he was a son of a prostitute. He was a guy at home with worthless people, and he also considered himself an outcast. And I know our stories might not be to the extreme of some of those stories, and some of them may be even worse. But the thing about it is God uses broken people. That's literally why I'm standing up here today. I'm broken. I can be broken. I was broken. And thank God for God. So we're still in Judges, and just so you know, Judges chapter 3 through 7, they were basically, God was raising up different judges at that time to keep the Israelites in line. Because the Israelites, we all hear about them and be like, oh, they so silly. Why it took them so long to get it right with God? You know, but we be the same way. And sometimes it take us more than 40 years. So, like, you know, but they had a pattern of sin, worship. Sin, rescue, worship, sin. It was a consistent pattern all through the Israelites' life. When God raised up a judge, when that judge ended up passing away, the Israelites would fall right back into sin. They would start worshiping idols and other gods, and God had to raise up another judge at that time. So what I'm going to be talking about is that different kinds of brokenness. And we're still in Judges, but sometimes we deal with brokenness that comes from generational brokenness. It's just a pattern of your parents. And I had somebody in my family that was like, my mom is an alcoholic, my dad is an alcoholic, so I'm an alcoholic. And they just continue that brokenness along generational lines. Then we live in brokenness. Some of us are living in brokenness right now. Christians, unsaved, don't know what to do, on the fence. Some of us are living in brokenness right now. Then we have those that allow others to break them. You know, you ever been that person that somebody stabbed you in the back or said the wrong thing to you and you felt broken just by those words or actions that others have done? Then we have those that we create our own brokenness. It's real. We create our own brokenness. Sometimes you talk to people and it looks like they got it all together on the outside, and you're like, they should be happy. They got this, that. But their mind is feeding them negativity. The enemy is feeding them negativity. Nobody else, but they creating their own brokenness. And that's where I'm coming in today. That's the type of brokenness that I'm going to be discussing today. So we're going to start with Judges 4, and it's going to come up on the screen behind me. And I'm skipping over it because I'm trying to get somewhere, but I got to say these scriptures, and I'll explain it later. But I'm going to be talking about Deborah. Deborah and Judges. She was one of the first judges, women judges, recorded in the Bible. All right, Judges 4, and it's going to skip along through different scriptures. In the first verse, it says, after Ehud's death, the Israelites again did evil in the Lord's sight. 3, Sisera, who had 900 iron chariots, ruthlessly oppressed the Israelites for 20 years. Then the people of Israel cried out to the Lord for help. Deborah, the wife of Labadoth, was a prophet who was judging Israel at the time. She would sit under a palm of Deborah between Ramah and Bethel in the hill country of Ephraim, and the Israelites would go to her for judgment. One day, she sent for Barak, son of Abinadab, who lived in Kadesh in the land of Naphtali. She said to him, this is what the Lord said. The God of Israel commands you, call out 10,000 warriors from the tribes of Naphtali and Zebulun and Mount Tabor. Barak told her, I will go, but only if you go with me. Very well, she replied, I will go with you, but you will receive no honor in this venture, for the Lord's victory over Sisera will be at the hands of a woman. So Deborah went with Barak to Kadesh. 10, at Kadesh, Barak called together the tribes of Zebulun and Naphtali, and the 10,000 warriors went up with him. Deborah also went with him. 14, then Deborah said to Barak, get ready. This is the day the Lord will give you victory over Sisera, for the Lord is marching ahead of you. So Barak led his 10,000 warriors down the slopes of Mount Tabor into battle. So all of that, we're talking about broken vessels. And if you know anything about Judges and know anything about Deborah, I tried to find something in the scriptures that made her broken. And it wasn't. And it's books about Deborah out there like this thick and long, but they're not scripture backed up. So I could have came up with embellished stories like the Marvel comics and all of this. But I'm just going to give you my take on it. Deborah's role as a judge in these days was very significant because only men were called in that type of role. So it was it wasn't normal that she was doing that. She rendered decisions in God's name according to his will. And that role was normally reserved for men back in those days, but God filled Deborah and led her in that capacity. And this shows that God can use anybody, no matter your gender, no matter your color, no matter your background, no matter what you did, no matter what you think, no matter where you come from. He can use anybody. What I love about this, Isaiah 41 and 10 says, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous hand. With Deborah, she probably thought to myself, she probably thought, I can't do this. I'm a woman. This is not my place. Nobody has never done this before. But she didn't allow that, those thoughts or anything to stop her. And I think so many times God has given us visions, given us thoughts, given us ideas, men, women, youth, old, and we don't go forward with it because of what we think we might not be capable of. I know I would not be here today if I didn't get past the words in my head, the thoughts in my head, the questions that I got, like, why me? Why they didn't use Miss Catherine? Like, why other people is not in this position? Like, I did this, I did that. And we count ourselves out, and God is like, it's you. It's you. Even though Deborah was in a time where she could have been trapped even in tradition, back in those days, women really kept the house, had kids, and basically they did that cycle over and over again. It really wasn't much going on, but she went to battle as well. And what I like about her, we get these thoughts, but she didn't allow those thoughts. So I'm thinking about like all these thoughts that I have in my head and all of these thoughts that I could have allowed stop me, and I have allowed to stop me in the past. If I would have just pushed forth and had that boldness that Deborah had that courage that Deborah had and walked through it. And I have this mirror here today because I think so many times, I think Miss Jody in Freedom in Christ life group, which is closed, so we have other life groups though, but Freedom in Christ, she was telling us it's some things that you say to yourself, and she was like, it's so good if you look in the mirror and say them to yourself, because a lot of times it gives you empowerment, and sometimes we look in the mirror and we can see all the flaws. Oh, I got a bump right here. Oh, my lips are too little. My lips are too big. My nose too wide. We can have all these things, and we let the enemy feed us through this mirror, and I got some things on here. I don't need anyone. It's so many people that think that they don't need anyone. The devil is a lie. And some say, I have to be perfect in order. I have to be perfect. No, you don't. The devil is a lie. Some say, I'm too old. You know how many times you've heard, like, I'm too old to do that. That's for them. No, it's too late for me. No, if you got breath in your body, God still has something for you to do. Some might say, and I've said this one, I'm not the right size, but I am. My husband loves it. So some might say, I'm too young. They're not going to respect me. They don't think I'm good enough. They don't think I have enough knowledge. I haven't been through what they've been through. The devil is a lie. He can use a donkey. He can use anybody. I don't have a choice. The devil is a lie. God gives us free will to make choices. And unfortunately, because sometimes I wish I could be a robot and be like, God, just make me do the right thing. But unfortunately, we have a choice, and we can pick and choose what we do. You do have a choice. I never amount to anything. It's not true. That's the enemy speaking. That's not what the truth of God's word say. You will amount to something. You can change your story. You can be somebody. I'm not smart enough. This is, it's partially me too sometimes, especially with these words and Judges. Like, I'm not smart enough. But they say these words. They say this stuff. God can use anybody. And it's not, you're not supposed to be saying what other people say. You're not supposed to be who other people are. I'm me because I can reach a certain group of people. I can't reach everybody, but God has laid out some people that I connect to. So I can only do what Cynthia Evans can do. Josh can only do what Josh can do. Pastor Aldridge can only do what he can do. And we reach certain people. So don't feel like you cannot do it because you don't do it like somebody else. He got a special work for Ashley. He got a special work for Janelle. He got a special work for Tan. He got a special work for all of us. Whatever your name is, whatever your background is. And we combat these things with, I am loved. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believe in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And that one is so good because if it was just you, he would have died on the cross for just you, because that's how much he loves you. This one, I have worth. You have worth. I am his child. This is Galatians 4:7. I am his child. Galatians 4:7, it's not going to be on the screen behind me, y'all. It's just something God gave me at the end. Now you are no longer a slave, but God's own child. And since you are his child, God has made you his heir. That's how I feel, Miss Catherine. Thank you for feeling like that. We're heirs of Jesus Christ, of God. That's huge, y'all. I am a new creation. I think this one we need to sit and eat on, because we tend to think that when we become followers of Christ that we still have this baggage just back here. You're a new creation. God has made you brand new. All old things are passed away. And I know I was one of those people that I became a Christian, and then I started doing things in the church and seeing old people that I used to do wrong things with, and I'd be like, oh my God. Oh, they know me. Like, they knew the old me. Old things are passed away. Most importantly, I am forgiven. I am forgiven. We are forgiven. If you're a child of Christ, you are forgiven. It doesn't matter what it is. Listen, liars are going to be in the same hell as somebody that murdered somebody. It's not a murdering hell and a lying hell. Y'all got the same heat. So, you know, we as Christians, we want to judge people and put parameters on people. Oh, he did that. You just lied yesterday. Like, we all will be in hell together. We serve the same God. When you ask for forgiveness, you are forgiven. So we have to walk into that. So many times I see people, and even I've done it to myself, that we self-sabotage ourselves. Self-sabotage is often driven by negative talk, negative self-talk, where you tell yourself that you're inadequate or unworthy of success. And I know I do that to myself so many times. Thank God for my husband. He'll encourage me and be like, no. But we got a God that loves us, and his word is all there telling us all what we are, but we don't read it. Or when we read it, we just be like, that's not my reality. But we got to read it until we believe it. Ephesians 2 and 10 says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. I tell you, like, this week I was really broken physically because of Felicity Tipton. Like, I barely could walk up these stairs to come up here. That's why I came up so early. If you see me, you thought she going up too wrong early. I had to walk and take my time because she did a boot camp in my life group, the Trinity Health Challenge group. You know I got to talk about life groups anytime I'm up here, y'all. So the Trinity Health Challenge, we did a boot camp this weekend, and we was doing squats, and I was just like, way to bring my message home. I'm walking in physical brokenness right now because my legs are hurting. That's why I'm trying to be comfortable today. I got on these tennis shoes, but Felicity really like killed me. And thank God for his resurrection on the cross, I was able to live again. Thanks, Felicity. I see you. But we go through so much brokenness right now and in life and in general and in our families and in everything, a lot of things, but we don't have to stay there. I'm going to read this story to y'all. It's a true story. I love stories. I think I read a story last time. This is a true story. It says, a baby girl was born to a young married couple. Mother already had one son, and father had a girl and a boy from a previous relationship. They moved to Michigan from Florida when the baby girl was very young. The mother and father were working and providing for their children. The father started drinking and became an alcoholic. The father started being abusive to the mother, brokenness. And the mother finally had enough and left and went back to Florida. The mother ended up having other children, and the baby girl was part of a family of five, her mother and three other siblings. The young girl grew up without her father in her life, brokenness. She was raised in the church. At the age of 15, she started adult things, her first sexual experience, brokenness. At the age of 15 as well, she started drinking, more brokenness. At the age of 16 and 17, multiple partners by this time, more drinking, and she started even smoking marijuana. At the age of 18, this young girl graduated high school and 1 month later found out she was pregnant from someone who was broken as well. Her first child at 19, now she was a single parent, still broken. Parenting her own daughter and still broken, which was also born into brokenness. Between the ages of 20 and 28, this girl endured two abortions, drinking, drug use, and many other failures. and all due to my decision and my brokenness that I allowed to follow me. When I decided to let God come in and fix me, not people, not relationships, not drugs or alcohol, but I let Jesus come into my heart, he made my vessel whole. Just because we have experienced brokenness doesn't mean we have to stay there. We can be repaired by the master's hand. And God can still use us, because if not, I wouldn't be able to stand in front of you today. That's my story, if that went over your head. That's my story. And I think about all, this is a brief synopsis of my life. But when I think about all the brokenness that I've been through, that I allowed to follow me, not that nobody put a gun to my head to believe or to make me do, but I went through so much brokenness and God still used me. He's still using me. And that can be you too. I don't know your story, but God knows your story. And don't put limits on what God can do. Because I think so many times we count ourselves out because of our story, because of our past. And God said, no, you're the one. You're the one, Vernon, because you did this and you did that and you can reach this person. No, you're the one, Ursula, because you have a story to tell. Don't allow your past to hold you back from your purpose that God has called you to. God has given us these passes, and a lot of times we did things that God did not want, but God has let that story come forth and let you be here to tell it because somebody else needs you. I need you. I need to know what God delivered you from so, Jeremiah, you can help me through. So these are just some steps to healing the brokenness. One, it's going to be on the screen behind me. Go to God and admit what you need. I think so many times we be so shy with God and he already know. It's nothing that we can hide from him. It's nothing that we can hide from him, but he wants you to say it. And if you got to think about it, why do I need him? Sit and think. Give him some time and sit and think, why do I need to admit these things? What do I need? Forgive yourself. Sometimes it's the hardest thing is to forgive yourself. When I became a Christian and I did what I did in my past, those things was weight on me. Like, how could you do that? Like, people struggling to have kids. People wish they had kids. But that was something that I did, and I can't take it back. And God forgave me, and that's all I need. Number three, rewrite your story. Rewrite your story. You got time. God still have you here for a purpose. You still have time to rewrite your story today. Don't let it be said too late. Rewrite your story. Number four, declutter your mind. Because that's where the devil has his playground at. Our mind. He will mess our mind up with a bunch of junk that's not even God's truth. And when we allow that stuff to get in our mind and not the truth of God's word, that's where the problems come in. Because we don't allow a society, culture, untruths to get in our mind and take the place of God's word, which is the truth. 1 John says, but if we confess our sins to him, he is faithful. He is faithful, you all. He is faithful. It's so much in my life that if I could write a book that I can say, and God has protected me, God has strengthened me, God has pushed me, God has did all of these things for all of you too. That's why you're here. You're able to be here today because God made a way. He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all wickedness. Church, I ask you, you know, sometimes you think that, oh, I'm a sinner and I'm in brokenness. No, we can be Christians walking in brokenness. Christians walking in brokenness and allowing the enemy to have his way in our mind, in our thoughts, in our actions, stopping us from going forth in what God has for us. No matter where you are in your walk with Christ, if you have brokenness, God can heal it. You just got to ask him to heal it and to walk it out in his word. What does his word say to do about it? Church family, you know how we do it here. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes at this time. If that's you and you're walking in brokenness and you don't know God, this is your moment. This is your day to take off all the lies the enemy have put on your mirror, on your mind, and to walk into wholeness with Christ. If you don't know what that looks like, but you know you're interested in it, this is your moment. And we will walk alongside you and help guide you. Church family, you know how we do it. We repeat after what I'm going to say so we cannot let that person feel alone in saying this, they're saying it for the first time from the bottom of their hearts. And if you're recommitting yourself, if some of us that walks in a backsliding stage and we done went way off from God, this is your day to come back because he still loves you. He still wants you no matter what you have done. Repeat after me, Lord Jesus, come into my life. Forgive me of my sins. Wash me. Cleanse me. I believe you died on the cross for my sins. And I accept you into my life. And all that I am is yours. In the name of Jesus, amen. If you prayed that prayer, welcome to the family of Christ. And we want to know if you prayed that prayer. We have a new system that if you could text REBORN to 97,000, that's REBORN to 97,000, REBORN to 97,000, just to let us know or fill it out on your connection card. Right now, we're going to have our prayer partners come down. And I feel that it's somebody, at least one person in here that wants to connect to where two or three are gathered together in his name's sake. These people are willing to stand and hold hands with you and touch and agree, saying that God will push you forward from out of your brokenness. God will heal you from out of your brokenness, whatever it may be. We're willing to stand and pray for you, with you, and agree that God will do the work. But once you leave this place and let go of their hands, you have to walk out of here and do the work. As my grandmother said, you have to work the word. Our praying and our holding hands is just symbolic and just an agreement reaching out to God, but you must do the work. I didn't become a Christian and just sat on the bench and was just like, I'm saved now. I had to work. I had to walk out the process. I had to walk out the word. And I'm asking you, if that's you, you could come up right now and touch and agree with one of these prayer partners. They're willing to pray with you. They're willing to lay hands on you if that's what you want. And even after we close out this service, they will be up here if you would not like to come right now. They're willing to pray. I'm going to ask you all if you will stand with me. And if you want to come, you could keep on coming. You just disregard what I'm saying. Just come. If you're up in the balcony and you need to come, just come. Wherever you are and you feel you need to come. If God is saying something in your spirit and you're like, oh, no, I know that's not me. That's really you. Men, women, boys, girls, young, old. It don't matter what you serve on or what you should have served on or who you are. Don't feel like I shouldn't be up there because of what they're going to think. Because you're stopping your blessing. Church, we're going to close out in prayer. God, I thank you for this day, God. I thank you for this opportunity, God. And I thank you for everyone that came in the midst of rain. Everyone that tuned in online, Lord Jesus. I the words that you gave me to set in, God, to be on their hearts, to be pressing throughout the week, Lord Jesus. Not let it just go in one ear and out the other, Lord Jesus. But I'm asking you to do a work. Heal our vessels, Lord Jesus. Heal us where we're broken, Lord Jesus. You know the places, God. Be with us as we leave this building, God. Give us safety and protection in the midst of the weather and the rain, God. I should have just touched, God, that the broken vessels will be healed, God. It doesn't matter where they do it at, God, but long as they take the step, God, with you. God, we love you and we thank you for this day. We love you, church. Amen. Have a great day.